And now we're going to have, oh, you know that friend. Who is that? Curious George. And this time we're going to do Curious George Takes a Job.
I had that book once.
We had
it. Good. All right. Let's be very quiet now, all right? Here we go. This is George.
There's a sound familiar to millions of children and former children around the world. The story of a mischievous little monkey who's had one of the longest careers of any childhood actor out there. Curious George was born from the imaginations of Hans and Margaret Ray. They were a team. Hans drew George. Margaret brought him to life with her storytelling.
Curious George is, he's not a typical animal. He's just Curious George, you know. He's a curious monkey who, through his curiosity, gets himself into trouble, and through his own ingenuity, gets himself out of trouble.
That's Margaret Ray speaking back in 1985. She died in 1996. Her husband died nearly two decades before her. But filmmaker Emma Ryan Yamazaki is trying to preserve the Ray story now so that their life of adventure and ingenuity can live on along with the character that they created. Yamazaki is currently working on a forthcoming documentary about the Rays. It's called Monkey Business, The Adventures of George's Curious Creators.
There were German Jews who fled the Nazis on bicycles with the first Curious George book with them back in 1940 out of Paris, and they ultimately got to America as refugees and published that first Curious George book in 1941 and then wrote six more, and then the rest is history. Right now, Curious George is a TV star, movie star. He's on our toothbrushes. You know, he's at a kid's birthday party, napkins. So, yeah, that's who they were.
Hans and Margaret Ray, they had no children of their own, but they invented this character that children for generations afterward, including myself, have just loved.
Yeah, yeah, and around the world, right? So I grew up in Japan reading Curious George in Japanese, assuming he was a Japanese monkey. I mean, I never questioned that. And then it took me, you know, years later to find out that so many countries were claiming him. And when I came to the U.S., it was one of those few things that I could share with my new American friends from my childhood because so many of them had read Curious George. And so he's universal and timeless, which, you know, is incredible.
And how do you say Curious George in Japanese?
We know him as Osaru no Joji. But also there's two names. There's another one called Hitomane Kozaru, which is like a mimicking monkey. So there's two names.
Well, your movie tells a story of a Ray couple who were ingenious in their own right and had to use a lot of ingenuity to get out of jams, to get out of trouble, sort of like their character. There seems to be reflections of this little monkey's personality in the way they lived.
Yeah, the more I learned about the Rays and their personalities and their life experiences, it became so clear to me that the reason why we have Curious George is because of who the Rays were and their life experiences, you know. So I can't help but see a bit of George in each of them, their curiosity, their sense of adventure, and their resilience. You know, they were survivors. The specific example, the most clear one I can make is, you know, when they were fleeing the Nazis, they found themselves with no train to be had and no cars, and they had to get out of Paris, and they couldn't even find bicycles. They only found a tandem bike. And the wife wasn't going to tolerate riding a tandem bike to flee the Nazis. So she told her husband, you know, I'm not doing this, figure out something. And he built two bicycles out of spare parts overnight. And those makeshift bicycles was what they rode to flee the Nazis, you know. So really it was through their creativity and imagination that they got out of serious trouble.
Well, I really love this part of your trailer.
We did only what we liked. And by a nice coincidence, the children liked the same thing.
Did you talk to children?
No. Why should we? We couldn't learn anything from them.
Margaret Ray, why should we talk to kids?
I know, right? So I got a chance to talk to a lot of people that grew up near the Rays as children, neighbors in this Waterville Valley community out in New Hampshire. And it was interesting how, you know, the kids had magical memories of Hans Ray. You know, he was just a man that never lost that sense of childhood. And then Margaret, people were scared of her as a kid. And it was only later, once they became older, that they appreciated her more and things like that. So she was a little bit blunt, you know, just straightforward.
And she intimidated people?
Some people have said that, you know, but she was really the one that got things done. You know, it was really Hans did do those drawings, but she wrote all the words. And it was her that, you know, went to Brazil in the 30s, having found that Hans, who they knew each other in childhood. And he was doing like a account keeping job, and she was the one that said, Hans, you're too talented to be a bookkeeper. Let's do something creative together. And they got married, they started an advertising company, and ultimately started writing children's books.
So what made you want to get started on this project? Was it a love of George yourself, or just a what you thought might be a lucrative film? I mean, you started on this documentary probably without enough money. Your Kickstarter has been successful, so it's going to get finished. But I don't think you knew where this was going to end up when you started.
No, not at all. And I happened upon the Ray story in spring of 2014. So a while back now, and I had made a couple of short films as a director, and I had done quite a lot of work as an editor in documentaries and nonfiction television. I was really looking for a story that I could throw myself into. I knew a feature film would take a couple of years, and I was searching for a story. And that's when I was introduced to the Ray Estate, run by Miss Lely Ong, who is in charge of all their stuff. And never knew anything about the Curious George authors. I mean, as kids, right, we never asked, like, who wrote our books? And I think as adults, too, like, we don't get that chance. And once I asked that question and found out more about them, I got completely obsessed. I traveled around the country meeting people that knew the Rays when they were alive. And also, there's an archive at the University of Southern Mississippi. There's 300 boxes of things from the Rays' life, like wartime journals and letters they wrote each other, and even the process of how Curious George was made, like unpublished sketches and their editing process. And I spent weeks there piecing their story together, and that's how I got started.
You know, my sister is a children's author. She'll be published soon. She has young kids. She had twins. She raised them and came up with great ideas for kids' books. What's astonishing here is that the Rays never had children and yet had such astronomical success, not financially, but coming up with a concept with art and with stories that not just a few kids, not a couple of kids in town, but millions and millions and millions of children, no matter who they were, just got right into.
And they really drew from their own experiences, from their childhood and stories they heard. They little known fact that, you know, in almost all their books, you can find them drawn into the story. So they love to really draw from their own experiences. They put their friends in their books, you know, and it was really, you know, it wasn't like, as someone says in my film, it wasn't like they searched the moon to find the storylines, right? It was all kind of inspired by their outlook on normal things. And that's transcended time for sure.
Well, generations of art and drawing and children's books that we all know and love of Curious George, and a new film thanks to a successful Kickstarter campaign called Monkey Business, The Adventure of George's Curious Creators. Emma Ryan Yamazaki is the filmmaker. She's the director, the producer, and the bringer to life of this film. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.